As voters cast ballots for the first black president, voters in California chose to pass a state constitutional amendment that would ban gay marriage. Were these two issues completely unrelated? Well, maybe, but what if you take into account that 70% of black Californians voted for the ban, compared to 49% of white voters and 53% of Latino voters? Experts say black and Latino voters also overwhelmingly voted to pass similar measures in Florida and Arizona. Could this help fracture the Democratic coalition? With me now, we've got Jasmine Canik, who runs the political blog jasminecanik.com, and Lou Engel, founder of The Call. That's a Christian ministry focused on young people. The Call held several rallies in support of Prop 8 leading up to Election Day. Welcome to both of you.
Hi.
Thank you.
So Proposition 8 was a measure here in California specifically and sought to overturn a state Supreme Court ruling that said a ban on gay marriage is unconstitutional. There were ballot proposals passed in Arizona and Florida, but you did not have a situation where gay couples were getting married in Arizona and Florida. Gay couples were getting married here up until the moment when, voting day. So let me start with you, Jasmine. The measure was approved by 52%. Statewide. Black folks are about 6% of the population, 10% of the electorate, because not everyone who lives in California or every state is a citizen. So how much did black Californians actually influence the passage of this bill, of this ballot initiative?
I think we played a role in it. Obviously, in the past, African Americans, when it comes to issues like gay marriage, tend to be very socially conservative. I think we've made some groundwork in that area. But as it relates to November 4th, yeah, we definitely did play a role. I don't know if we played the leading role as it's sort of being made out to be, considering the fact, like you said, we are only 6% of the state's population and 10% of the electorate.
Still, the numbers struck me, the difference between blacks and Latinos in terms of support for this. Were you surprised by that?
Nothing surprises me these days. Again, it just goes to show that there's still a lot of work to be done. I think, as someone who's caught in the middle, because I'm black and I'm also a lesbian, I think that the gay community had a misunderstanding of what blacks' priorities were going to be on November 4th. And I know that our priorities were to get us registered and to get us out to turn out the vote for Barack Obama, which we did successfully. To the extent that Proposition 8 came into play, it was a secondary issue and an issue that wasn't well thought out as it related to how African Americans would turn out the vote. And it was a poorly run campaign on behalf of the gay community.
I want to actually go to one of the advertisements for yes on Proposition 8. This one features San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom.
This door is wide open now. It's going to happen. This door is wide open now. This door is wide open now. It's going to happen. Whether you like it or not.
Four judges ignored 4 million voters and imposed same-sex marriage on California. It's no longer about tolerance. Acceptance of gay marriage is now mandatory.
That changes a lot of things. People sued over personal beliefs. Churches could lose their tax exemption. Gay marriage taught in public schools.
We don't have to accept this.
Whether you like it or not.
Yes on 8.
All right. When you think about that, Lou, and that messaging that people were not given a choice, that people who supported this measure were not given a choice as the events unfolded previous to the ballot initiative. Do you think that was successful? Was that the main reason why people voted for this?
Well, I think the main reason that people voted is because there is still a mass of Americans who still have family, deep-rooted family values, who believe that marriage between a man and a woman is still best for society. I think Gavin Newsom was kind of, I think people picked up his spirit in the advertisement. This is not really the kind of attitude that we want to run behind. I think the clarity of the Teachers Association putting in $1 million and then saying that we don't want to educate your children on, that this will not affect the education of your children, then why did the teachers put in $1 million? I think the word got out clearly that, hey, things aren't really being clearly communicated, and the truth really is a sham. I mean, they're making it a sham. And so I think the people in mass realized this thing is a deception, and the people turned it, and it's the will of the people that turned it back.
What are your thoughts on how big a role the black community specifically or non-white Californian voters played in the margin of this vote?
Well, I know there was tremendous activity among those leading the Yes on 8 movement, among the Latinos and the blacks. In fact, the black Americans in San Diego were the ones that originally rallied the cry to go to, so to speak, war on this thing. Because black Americans are saying this is not a civil rights issue. We can't change our skin. The black Americans were very clear on this. This is a choice of people's lifestyles, and it's not the same as civil rights. And the black Americans rose up in mass and said, hey, let's make a distinction here. That's why I think the black vote was very heavily favored toward traditional marriage, and I think it's a profound statement, particularly from the people that have suffered the most in terms of racism and inequality.
How do you have that conversation, when you have a conversation, Jasmine, with people about racial discrimination against gays and lesbians, the civil rights legacy, and where things are now? How do you talk to me, or give a couple sentences? You've talked about talking to your grandmother about it.
Yeah, I mean, I have an even better one for you today. All right, in the last 24 hours, this issue has captivated California as it relates to black people. You know, there was a protest last night in Westwood wherein upon several black people were accosted and called the N-word. Some of those black people happened to have been gay, and they were being called those names by white gay folks who said it was you people who took away our rights. They didn't know that they were gay. All they saw were black people, you know. On the flip side of that, I leave the tennis courts to come over here, where a fight breaks out on the court over Proposition 8 amongst black people, not knowing that I'm a lesbian. They're using the F word, the S word, every word to describe my community. So it's hard for people in my position because we are caught in the middle. But the problem is this. Again, there's a misunderstanding of what our priorities were. And at the same time, I hate to have to say it this way, but the white gay community needs to realize and recognize that you're going to lose every time you continue to put yourself at the forefront of this movement. Minorities played a big role in Proposition 8, but all the images and everything that you saw on television or on the radio were of affluent sort of white gay couples, which feeds into people like my grandmother's psyche, that whole, you know, white, you know, privilege thing. I'm a black lesbian. The reason why I wasn't inspired to work on Prop 8 was because that glass ceiling that the white gays are bumping their head up against is to a room that, as a black person, I haven't even got a foot in the door of. You know, I'm just trying to put food on the table. There's a hierarchy of needs, I think, when it comes to African Americans. And again, it was a poorly run campaign. What I will say about the other side is that I was in the projects on Election Day, and they were debating Proposition 8. So that means that they were able to get their message into the farthest parts of our community, while the gay folks were only willing to go as far as the neighborhoods in our community they had already gentrified.
Lou, when you think about the outcome of this, which is to your liking, to your will, does that mean that you're going to try to build alliances, more permanent alliances, with, for example, African American churches or members of faith communities of other races?
Well, I think in my own circles, you know, which is mostly the evangelical and the Christian circles, there obviously there's been a coming together like never before. And there is talk now about establishing long-term relationships, building coalitions. But I think there's also an element that realizes that in 2 years, these same kind of bills are going to come back again. And so there's I'm involved majorly in a whole prayer movement with young people, and there's a major press for in California for massive movements of prayer, asking God for a spiritual awakening, which is desperately, really not just looking at, to speaking at the about the homosexual community. The church is saturated with divorce, pornography, and adultery. We need a spiritual awakening and returning to moral foundations. I think we're in a moment. We seize the day. I think we can see some tremendous benefit and blessing for our state and for the nation.
Jasmine, very quickly, do you think there needs to be outreach to the faith community from your perspective, particularly the Black faith community?
Yeah, obviously there needs to be outreach, but it needs to be done by people like me, African-American gays and lesbians. And to the extent that we're willing to do it, we will.
All right. On that note, thank you both.
Thanks.
We're talking to Jasmine Kanick, who runs the political blog jasminekanick.com. She joined us at NPR West Studios. And Lou Engel, founder of The Call California. It's a youth-centered evangelical group based in Kansas City, Missouri.